For those of us who own pets, I think they're really probably the most difficult times of having a pet as in your home is that time when it nears the end of its life, that end of life care, and do we do euthanasia? Do we let the animal die a natural death? There are so many things to think about, and frankly, most of us aren't very well prepared for it. To be perfectly honest, there hasn't been in the past a whole lot of assistance out there, as far as I can see. Dr. Carrie Donahue, though, is one of those people who can help us out. She's the owner and founder of Full Circle In-Home Pet Hospice and Euthanasia. She grew up in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, on a small farm surrounded by animals. She always knew she'd become a veterinarian. And here she is, a veterinarian, and she really specializes to a great extent in hospice and euthanasia for our pets. And she's with us today for 40 minutes or so. Certainly looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Is it important for other pets to witness their friends passing, for example? That's a question I have. Have you had to make a difficult decision to end your pet's life? How did you know when it was time? Were you able to do it at home, or you wish you could have done it at home? Lots of things to talk about, and certainly if you'd like to join in, the number to call 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We would love to hear from you. Dr. Donahue, thanks for coming by. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
You knew from an earlier age, from a very early age, you wanted to be a vet.
I did, and I think that's kind of how it goes for a lot of veterinarians. You really know early on that it's something that you want to do, and you want to help animals, and you want animals to be a part of your life and in your career, and I always knew, and so here I am.
And I'm sure you weren't thinking about specializing in end-of-life care way back when. How did you come to that?
Well, it's so true. If somebody would have told me when I was in vet school that I would be doing something like this, I probably would not have believed them. But it's something, and for me, it's kind of been a natural progression through my career. And, you know, I've worked in private practice in a clinic setting for a number of years, and it just so happened one day that one of my clients asked me to come to her home and perform an in-home euthanasia on her dog, and I agreed to do that, and from the minute that I stepped into her home and I was able to help this dog pass peacefully and lovingly, surrounded by his family, and in a gentle way, I really knew that that's what I wanted to do with my career, is to help animals in that way. And I really feel like this is a way that I can do the most good for animals.
And you talk, and part of your business, and the name of your business, and part of it is hospice. Mm-hmm. And what does hospice mean when we're talking about animals?
Well, hospice care for animals is kind of an emerging field in veterinary medicine, and it's really following in the footsteps of human hospice. And what the aim of it is to provide care for animals at the end of life. And usually hospice starts when a pet has been diagnosed with a terminal illness, like cancer or heart disease or kidney failure, and the owner wants to support the animal at home. And, you know, to provide the care all the way through the end of life. And that's what I do, is provide the support for owners to help their animals.
We have callers online already. And you've been doing this now for?
For a couple of years.
Couple of years?
Mm-hmm.
And the experience has been rewarding, I'm sure. Happy.
It has been so, so rewarding. And, you know, it's not one of those things that it's a joyful thing to go through, but it's really meaningful. And I really feel that I can help owners give this final gift of love and compassion to their animals.
I don't know how many times on this program with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk we've had people call and say, well, I don't know how to decide when is the time for our pet to be euthanized.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know when it's time to make that final decision?
Oh, it's such a personal decision, and I really encourage people to listen to their pet and try to be the pet's voice and be an advocate for your animal and really watch for any changes that might be going on. If your pet's been diagnosed with a terminal illness, you know, get all of the information that you can about the disease that you might be dealing with so you know what might happen and you know what the prognosis is and you know what things you might see. And really thinking about the welfare of the animal and the quality of life that they might have. Talking with your family and thinking about your own feelings about everything, getting information and kind of focusing on the special gift that your pet has given you when you're going forward with some of these things, but really watching for changes that you might see in your animal and some of the signs that we see that can kind of tell us that it might be time to start thinking about euthanasia. Changes in eating and drinking habits, changes in activities. They might act confused and they might not want to, they might go off on their own and seek solitude a little bit more. And some signs of pain that we see are panting, shifting weight, kind of whining, acting unsettled, licking at paws or certain joints. So those are some of the things, too, that you can watch for.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest, as we talk with her about end-of-life care for our pets. You can join in with your questions or comments or maybe your experiences at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Carl in Milwaukee, turn to you. Thank you for calling. Hi. Carl?
Good morning. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here. Thank you. I've had house rabbits, which is unusual. Most people would think that they have distinct and unusual and personalities. And the last two I had, they were a mated pair from rescue, and one of them distinctly did not like me. And, of course, that was the surviving animal. In rabbits, when they go...
Oh! We lost him. Oh, nuts. Are you there, Carl? Oh, we lost Carl. That is really too bad. Call back, and I think he may have been on a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have him call back. And he was talking about rabbits, sort of end of life for a rabbit is maybe different from some other kinds of animals. Is that something you've...
Yeah, I mean, I really think with rabbits, and it kind of goes along with cats, too. They're so they're such stoic animals, and they hide disease very, very well. And so a lot of people don't realize that they are very sick until they get to kind of a crisis point where the owners have to make a decision pretty quickly. And rabbits are very different.
Yeah, he may have some more, and he could call back. Mary and Nina, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. Kind of along with what your vet said, I think it's important for the vet to be very upfront with the family. I had a cat that had feline leukemia and feline AIDS, and he looked awful towards the end, but he jumped down one day from something and started limping, and when I took him in, the vet said, well, we could do this, that, or the other thing for him, and I said, well, are you doing it for me, or are you doing it for him? And the vet was very upfront, and she said, we'd be doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, it's not for me. It's, you know, we need to do what's best for him. And mm-hmm. he didn't go home with me, so that was the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. Comments, Carrie?
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of part of why I do what I do, because I think in a typical veterinary setting, euthanasia is not really something that's always brought up. And I think now more and more pet owners are talking about it and are asking for some of these things like the hospice and the home euthanasias. But it's important to remember that, you know, veterinarians, we're taught to heal disease and we're taught to make animals better. And there's not a lot that we we're taught when we can't make them better, you know, and when we can't heal them, and how do we support them the best that we can when they're not going to get any better and when they've been diagnosed with a terminal disease. So I do think it's important for owners, if they're in a veterinary clinic and they're talking to their vet, to make sure that they bring up euthanasia. And they, I think vets are open to talking about it, but usually we'll wait until the owner mentions it. And it's usually not something that we will bring up. And we're kind of taught to offer everything and give the owner options. And really, it's a liability if we don't do that. We have to lay out everything that's possible. Sure. So, yeah, that's part of it. It's a good thing to bring up.
Joe in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you for calling.
This is timely. I'm driving on a sales call in Milwaukee today, and I just happened to turn on the radio. Oh. We had to euthanize our 12-year-old Golden yesterday.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And it started as a gastrointestinal problem, just going to the vet, and then progressed to the day, made a family decision. Really tough. But what you're saying, I just turned on, you know, when's it time to make the decision? I think that's what everybody wants to know. And looking back, we were so close to it. She dropped 20 pounds in the last year. Mm. We're so close to it, we didn't know it.
Well, that's so true, and I really think if you are living with it every day, the disease state becomes the normal state, and that's why it's so important to visit your veterinarian, or else even listen to people who might come to visit your pet, and will notice the differences because you just do not see it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Very good. It was just this whole thing's very timely, so thank you for your program.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling, Joe, and sorry for your loss, for sure. It is definitely a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Mark in Luck, Wisconsin, on to you now. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Yeah, like I was telling your screener, we just had to put to sleep about 2 weeks ago our 16-and-a-half-year-old dog.
Wow.
And, you know, we didn't think she'd make it through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we kept her, and we planned on doing it last year. But like I say, I didn't think she'd make it through the winter, but she made kind of a recovery this winter. So we kept her, and she did pretty good up until, you know, about a month before her death that she, you know, started really going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to put dogs to sleep before, and I called my vet, and they're so good. They always, you know, they've come out before and done that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to be able to you know, have the vet come out and do it at home. It's peaceful. The dog doesn't get excited, and they just, you know, basically go to sleep in your arms, and then you can deal with, you know, what you have to do later.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also, you know, for every dog or cat that I've had to euthanize, I always get a new one. And we just got a new puppy a week ago that we got from the Humane Society in Washburn for our other dog, because she was pretty lonely. And she's a lot happier now, and then we get to save another dog's life, and we get to have a new pet to go on and have fun with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling. Comment, Carrie?
Yeah, I mean, just talking about doing the euthanasia in home, because the vet clinic is stressful for a lot of animals, especially animals who have some of these chronic illnesses that might be hard to even transport them to the vet clinic. And that's why I do the home euthanasia. And I agree, a lot of vets are starting to offer it more and more. And it's a wonderful thing, because you can choose how you want the end of your pet's life to be. And it can be on your own terms. And there is no stress involved. And it's so peaceful. And it's just a natural transition. And the pet can be surrounded by the family and surrounded by other pets. And I think you talked about this before.
Yeah.
I do think it's important for other pets to be around and to kind of realize what's going on. And it's hard to say what they're thinking or what they know, but I do find that when you take a pet that you want to euthanize, when you take them to the veterinary clinic, some of the other pets at home, they don't know what happened. And a lot of times people will tell me that their pet is walking around the house looking for a pet that might be gone. So I do think it's important for them to be a part of the process.
Mm. Thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, she is the owner and founder of Full Circle In-Home Pet Hospice and Euthanasia. She works out of both Madison and Milwaukee. We have a link to her site on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, so I hope you'll go to that site and take a look at what she has to offer. And certainly, if you have a question or a comment or an experience to share, I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network as we talk about end-of-life care for our pets with Dr. Carrie Donahue. Pleased to have her along. Thank you for listening in. And many callers online. I think we should go back to the phones. I'll get Carl in Milwaukee with the house rabbits. Carl, hello.
Thank you again. I'll pick up where I think I left off.
Mm-hmm.
I had a pair of rabbits out of rescue, and they do indeed have distinct personalities, et cetera, which nobody thinks of or thinks that they do. That being said, of course, the one that was affable and would attend to me, if you will, was the first to die. And so I literally and physically took the partner out of the cage one day. And the remaining rabbit really didn't want to have anything to do with me because it never liked me. And I can certainly accept that. But, however, it became apparent that there were some health issues going on. And in the veterinary practice, you should advance the discussion about euthanasia. I took my rabbit in one day and called them and said, I'm bringing him in. I'm going to do the adult thing. And it was a Thursday, and it seared my memory. They said, oh, I'm sorry. We're all allergic to rabbits today. Come back tomorrow.
Oh, no.
And, you know, it was very difficult. And, you know, I feared the pain and the suffering. But just as an aside, rabbits are wonderful pets, and there are too many of them in rescue and shelters. And I taught one of mine to actually hop around the block with me on a leash. So they really do have personalities, and they're wonderful animals. But, yes, we as, I guess, adults or humans really do need to be mindful of their needs because they are indeed companion animals. And the practice of veterinary medicine should address this more with owners because it needs to be a conversation.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Donahue, comments?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think the more and more, you know, pet owners are asking for it and veterinarians are willing to talk about it and just having that conversation with your vet and asking for information and asking for support. And that's kind of what I do with the home hospice too. And I think a lot of people provide hospice for their animals at the end of life and when they know that their animal is dying and is towards the end of its life and they provide hospice. But we're kind of just starting to put a name on it. And vets and vet technicians and other people are starting to step forward and provide the support and the information that people need to take care of their animals at the end of life and to really start talking about this.
Mm. And when you talk, maybe you could talk a little bit more about the hospice and what it means and how you provide it and what you do.
Oh, okay. So hospice usually starts when a pet has been diagnosed with a terminal condition, for example, cancer, and when the owner has made the decision not to pursue any aggressive or curative therapies. You know, and maybe they've made the decision to not go through chemotherapy or radiation therapy, and they just want to make the animal as comfortable as possible, and they want to take care of it at home, and they kind of want to go through the natural process. And hospice can either entail assisting your animal with a natural death, or hospice can allow the owner to take care of the pet up until the point where, you know, really you're not able to manage the pain and the pet might be suffering and the owner would like to choose a euthanasia. So a big part of hospice is palliative care and making sure that pain and suffering is controlled. Nutritional support, either providing fluid therapy, good nutritional therapy supplements. And I also do acupuncture and herbal medicine, and I do Reiki, which is kind of an energy healing. And some of those alternative modalities are really nice, especially for older animals at the end of life. Some of these gentle things that don't have the side effects like a lot of the medications do. And then also providing emotional support both for the animal and the owner going through this. It's a really, really difficult time. And I just want people to know that they're not alone going through this and that there are people out there that can help.
Are there more people out there that can help? I mean, are there many more like you? They're not a lot.
Well, I think a big part of it is talking to your regular veterinarian because they are available to help and they can give you the information. And, you know, we're so lucky in Madison to have the UW Vet School here, and we have experts in the fields of oncology and cardiology, and there are so many resources. And I really encourage people to, if their pet's been diagnosed with something, go talk to the expert and get the information that you need. And it's out there. You just have to ask for it.
Jeanette and Lady Smith, it's your turn. Hello, Jeanette.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I have my first comment has to be God bless you, Dr. Donahue. Getting at home care is so critically important at end of life. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. I've been doing hospice for years, but it was never called that. Because when my kids get older and their health is declining, it changes. Their nutritional needs change. All kinds of things change. And I've just gone through several very difficult months because my three oldest cats died, bada boom, bada bing. One was 19, one we think was about 17, she was a rescue. And the other one, we have no idea how old he was. He was probably about 14, he was a rescue. But for me, the worst portion of the whole thing was knowing that when it was time for euthanasia, we were going to have to get in that car and go to the vet. Not something that they would have been happy about. My 17-year-old did have cancer, and I made the decision. She had mammary cysts. And I made the decision that, no, we weren't going to get aggressive with this, just comfort and whatever she needed. And the very first morning she showed signs of discomfort, I was able to get her in for euthanasia. But it's that trip for them, just knowing, you know?
Yeah.
And at home is, there's nothing better. We do it for our people, you know? We need to do it for the rest of our family, too.
Exactly.
Anyway, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling Jeanette. And she was having a hard time with that, as we all do. I mean, talking about it. It's very difficult. And And it sounded like she has now found someone to do, possibly to do home euthanasia.
Yeah. And it is. You just have to ask for it and you know, find somebody who is able to assist you.
Steve in Sun Prairie. Let's go there next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to address something that a lot of people don't think about. And perhaps you spoke of it earlier, but I was speaking to my vet on the phone, who is one of your favorites, Larry, because she's on your show once a month.
No.
I was
Dr. Sandy.
I was getting a prescription filled for my cat.
Oh.
And she is you know, just a wonderful vet and has come to my home and euthanized a couple cats for me. However, the last time I had to have a cat euthanized, I called Sandy to do it, and she wouldn't come because she happened to be in the Philippines, and I had to take the cat to a different vet. Well, luckily enough, I knew what I was facing. She'd helped me through the first couple as far as what to do with the body. Had I not been familiar with her and she not guided me through this, I wouldn't have known what to do as far as a casket, as far as crematory, and I think that's something that should be addressed.
Comment on that, Dr. Donahue?
Yeah, and part of part of what I do in my service is I do work with a crematorium here in Middleton that offers cremation for pets. And, you know, there are a couple of options there. You can choose to do a group cremation where you don't get ashes back. And some people choose to get the ashes back in an urn and, you know, it's something that they want to keep. And there are also options for burial. And I know there's a pet cemetery in Wanakee.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of different options for that. And, you know, that's something that I will help owners with, making that decision as well and what they want to do afterwards.
And we have a couple of kitties buried in our backyard of our home.
Mm-hmm. And that's really special, too. And a lot of people are able to do that, but then a lot of people who are living, especially in the city of Madison, are just not able to do those home burials. So, but there are options available.
Thank you, Steve, for calling. Sharon in Janesville, hi to you.
Hi. I just wanted to share what we have done with two of our dogs. Originally, 15 years ago, we had taken our 15-and-a-half-year-old dog to Poinette. We personally, after she, we had the vet come to the house and euthanize her, and then I held her on my lap, and my husband drove, and we went to Poinette and had her cremated. And last October, we had a dog that we had had for 3.5 years that we knew when we got her had kidney disease. And the previous owner was going to put her down, and there was so much life left in her. Mm-hmm. And so we took her, and we didn't know her age, but we knew she had kidney disease, and she was on medication for that. And then very suddenly, her kidneys started to fail. And within days, I mean, she just started losing weight, and I had to take her outside to go to the bathroom and, you know, just carry her around, and we just never left her alone. We just, somebody with her all the time. She was just, we just knew how sick she was getting, and there is a traveling vet here in Rock County. We had him come to the house, and I was able to hold her while they, while he put her to sleep, and then we did the same thing. But when we got to Poinette this year, it was just transformed into a wonderful, caring place that had a very comfortable room that we were able to wait in while she was being cremated. And it had soft music. They had a fridge if we wanted a bottle of water. When we were there, they talked about everything that was going on and what would how it would progress, and at the end we were given a beautiful box with her remains in it and a rose, and it was just a fabulous place. It has beautiful surroundings where we were able to walk, you know, outside and sit and wait on a bench, and just I can't even begin to tell you what a wonderful place it was. And, you know, we brought her ashes home, and a couple of days later we got a wonderful sympathy card from them that they had signed. And I just wanted to share that, how wonderful it was to be able to take our beloved animals to such a wonderful place.
Hmm.
Oh, that is such a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that. You know, it's so true that pets are such an important part of our lives, and they're such a part of our family. And it's so important at the end of life to find a way that you can memorialize them, whether it's through having a service or taking them to the place of cremation and going through a service or something like that, finding a way to memorialize them and to honor the gift that they've given us.
It was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for calling. And there are people who have had not good experiences, too, and we should acknowledge that. Donna emailed to say she had the worst possible experience with a terminally ill kitty, a cat, who had a couple of her own. The cat had kittens, two kittens, and was going to be done at home, and it turns out the person couldn't get the IV access to give the drug, and the cat started to howl, and it was finally had to go to the, be taken into the vet, the clinic to finish things up, and the kitties were never the same. They were traumatized, and she said she would. This was 8 years ago, and she still thinks terribly. And I had a friend who had a very similar problem or situation with a dog that she had that she. I mean, never do that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it doesn't always work out the best.
You know, and it's true. In these situations, they're so filled with emotions that they, if things don't go well and there is a problem, it really can be traumatic. And another reason why I do the home euthanasia is because you do take out that stress. And it's, you know, veterinarians are kind of learning different ways to do euthanasias. And something that I will always do is give a sedative first, give a strong sedative. And it actually puts the animal on a plane of anesthesia, so they're not able to feel anything going forward, and then giving the solution that does put them to sleep. So just trying to minimize some of those experiences.
Marty in Lodi had a better experience. Marty, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is very, very timely for me. We had our beloved 15-year-old Springer put to sleep 3 weeks ago, and we got our first Springer in 78, so it's not the first time we've been through this. It's always very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. We did take our dog into the vet. Our vet is in Wanakee. She is wonderful. She had the room dimmed. A big fluffy bed on the floor. We put his fleece bed on it and sat with him. All the things that you mentioned early on that you know it's the end of life. He had no specific disease, but he was failing. He was very thin. He vomited a lot, even on rice. He'd lost control of his bowel, so as he walked across the room, he would drop the leavings. Mm-hmm. And there was just no improvement. He'd follow you around the house and cry and moan and cry mm-hmm. all the time. And we finally, after putting it off for a month, we went back and revisited, and it was fine. And my comment to people out there is, I have a cousin with cats in Racine and several other friends who say, I can't do it. I take them in and leave them. And my comment is, she said, will it feel better? I said, it will feel vastly better, even though it's hard. Mm-hmm. They've given you their life. The last thing they should see is you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. And I just wanted to share that, okay?
No, thank you very much for calling. Comments?
Oh, I think it is so, so important. And I there are some people out there, exactly like you said, they think it's too hard to go through it, but I really encourage people to be there with their pets up until the final moments, because they never really need you more than they do at that moment. And it's such a meaningful experience. And if the pet owner is able to let the animal go and really to love them enough to let them go and to say, it's okay for you to go, and I want you to go in love, and it's a wonderful thing. And I really think it helps with the whole grieving process and getting through everything. It helps if you're there with them at the end when they need you.
An email from John in Middleton. The interesting question here. My dog, a Rhodesian look-alike, adopted 14 years ago. I had to move to a retirement community, so I've had to give her up to an older couple who love and care for her. My question is whether I should stay out of her life or can I visit her once in a while? I don't want to confuse her in her last years, but when I do see her, I can tell she's unhappy when I leave. In fact, she tries to get in my truck. Been a big part of my life. I just saw her about a month ago.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's so important for you to spend time with your dog. And the thing is, too, older animals, geriatric animals, whether they're sick or not, they tend to sleep more and they don't interact as much as they might have when they were younger. But that doesn't mean that they need any less attention. And, you know, I think anything like that is a good thing.
On to Diane in Harrison, Wisconsin. Hi, Diane.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I, too, just recently lost a German Shepherd 3 weeks ago. And I stayed with her till the end. I do think it is important that we are with them and mm-hmm. calming them. But the one thing I wanted to say was, when we accept a pet into our life, we accept the responsibility of keeping the veterinary care, you know, that there's always going to be financial, you know, ramifications. But I know a lot of people will order their medications through catalogs and whatnot and try to cut corners. But, you know, the importance of having our veterinarians there as part of our team costs money. And I believe that it's really essential for all of us to continue to support our veterinarians, get our medications from there. They have overheads and, you know, all the other costs of education and continuing education. But, you know, when it comes to a situation like when I lost my dog, my vet was there for the follow-up. She called me. The essential compassion and just caring, you can't get that from a catalog. And I just think it's so important to realize what an important part of the team they are in our pets' lives, and support them financially, and realize that you can't put a dollar figure on, you know, the people in the catalog wouldn't call you and say, how are you doing? But your veterinarian will.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that, you know, the follow-up and compassion of a veterinarian is so important. One thing I wanted to say, too, this is my third shepherd that I've lost, and she had a number of things that were really making her life diminished. But I've learned that the day that I'm taking them in, everything that I didn't let them do, walk through the field with the burrs and have the chocolate and the scrambled eggs with cheese, just let them do everything that they wanted to do. Go out with a tummy full of chocolate, you know, and let them do whatever they want to do. Take them on that long car ride, get them ice cream cone, and at least you know that your pet left with a big smile on its tummy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Boy, I agree. And it's another thing that I tell the owners, too, is when you're looking at the end of life for one of your pets, it's a wonderful way to memorialize their life is to give them what's called a perfect day. So, and just like the caller was saying, do their favorite, take an hour, take a half a day, or to even take a whole day and just do your pet's favorite things with them, even just spending time with them, taking them to McDonald's and getting them a cheeseburger, going for a car ride, going for a long walk. Those are the wonderful memories that you can make.
It's, and it's, you know, as I'm sitting here listening to Diane, I was tearing up myself, and I'm wondering, you know, and Joel, on a Facebook question, wondered, how do you cope with the constant grief and crying of the owners on a daily basis? You have it.
Yeah. It certainly takes, I think it takes a certain type of personality probably to go through that, but it is more rewarding than you will even know, because yes, there are the tears, and I feel that I can support people going through this process, and it's hard, but I gain strength knowing that I am able to help them and to help their pets and to help them get through this.
Well, you're an amazing person, Carrie. Thank you so much.
Thank
I hope you'll
you.
Come back and be with us sometime.
I would love to. Thank you so much.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle In-Home Pet Hospice and Euthanasia. And again, just go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We've got a link to her business. Great to have her along, and certainly we'll bring her back, and we'll do this again. Appreciate it very much. We're going to continue to talk about pets and turn our attention to exotic pets and exotic pet care. Dr. Kurt Sladke joins us next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.